You're listening to the Raising Humans Kind podcast with family psychologist Ashley, where we dive into the big topics, the stuff that really matters in raising your small humans kindly, so that together we can raise humankind. In this series, you're going to hear solo episodes from me all about the needs of our stuck and sensitive kids. I hope it challenges you, and I hope it inspires you to find your own unique pathway in raising your small human kindly. Good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a beautiful day wherever you are. Today, I wanted to share with you about connection with working parents, because I had this really great chat with some of my clients during the week who were having this really tricky drop-off situation with their child. And, you know, sometimes drop-offs are just completely developmentally inappropriate and we can't do much about it. Like, this was a situation where the school was in a canyon and so the school couldn't, like, there just wasn't really anything they could do. They had to have parents drop off their child without meeting the teacher. So they just dropped the child off at the car park and then the child had to walk to the classroom. Really tricky for young children, especially really tricky for sensitive children. But we were really trying to think around how this could work. And we had a huge win. So it inspired today's podcast topic because I thought, oh, this is actually something that I should make more clear, because really every time I do this with a client, it seems to work so well. So even though this was inspired by a drop-off situation, I want to talk today about the idea of connecting with the working parent. Because what I see a lot of with kids who are having a hard time with alarm and separation is one of those key separations is often the working parent. Let's for ease say it's the dad. So in this situation, the dad was working, it was kind of like shift work in that it wasn't predictable. And so the child didn't always know when the dad was going to be at work. And I think that that can be really alarming for a lot of children. It's, you know, it's hard when your dad goes to work or your other parent goes to work from 9 till 5, but at least it's predictable. I think it's even harder for kids when some nights their parent is out and then some days their parent is out and they just never really know when that's going to be. And that can be kind of a fairly big bucket filler for a lot of children. And so what we ended up doing, because we couldn't shift drop off, even though I knew that drop off was the issue, the way that the drop off was designed was not developmentally appropriate. We didn't really have anything that we could do around that. So we had to create a workaround. So I was thinking in my head, okay, how can we reduce the other aspects of alarm? What else can we do that reduces separation and reduces alarm in this child's life so that maybe even though that drop off isn't perfectly ideal, the child then may be able to cope with it. And so one of the things that we noticed was this child's behavior was a lot more challenging on the evenings that the dad was working. And so I said, okay, let's create a little ritual where dad sends an audio message to the child every afternoon when he gets home from school on the days that he's working and he won't be there when he gets home. So he knows what days, and I'll get into that in a second, but we also added a calendar, but I'll talk about that in a second. So he knows there's the predictability of the calendar. He knows when dad's going to be working, but he also gets this sense of connection and this little special ritual. And between the calendar, so having a sense of predictability around when dad was working and knowing when he was going and when he was going to come home, and they would write that calendar at the start of the week once they knew when the dad would be working, and the special little audio messages that the dad sent this child to listen to when his mum picked him up from school. So at the end of that big separation of school, he got in the car and he knew on those days when his dad wasn't normally there, there'd be this special little message for him. And, you know, his dad would just say things like he loved him or he missed him or he was thinking of him or he saw something that made him think of him. And it just reduces that intensity of the separation. And it helps children feel like you're thinking about them while you're away and that you care about them. And that can actually reduce a lot of alarm in children. And so whether you've got a parent who is working shift work or just working away a lot or is unpredictable in their work in some way or specifically does night shifts, then it can be really, really powerful to create some kind of ritual where the child gets to hear something from that parent. And the reason why I like audio messages is because you can send them ahead of time. You can send a bunch to the parent who's home with the children so that you never forget, because once you start one of these rituals, the last thing you want to do is actually forget or get caught up at work. And they can be just done on the fly, and the child, like, it doesn't matter where you are, you can just record them. So it's quite different to a video message in that way. And it gives you a lot of freedom and space, because I think, as I said, once we start these rituals, the last thing we want to do is stop them. So we don't want to be caught up in meetings or doing things and not be able to send a video message. So the audio messages work really well in that way. And as I mentioned, I also suggested to this family that they did a calendar, which I think can be really handy for children when parents are working away a lot, or like I said, in ways where it's unpredictable. And the reason why this is so powerful is because of the way our society is set up, is that children are often experiencing way more separation from their primary caregivers than they're developmentally designed to experience. And that's just an unfortunate truth of the way that our society works. But when we can think of these special rituals, and when we can think of reducing the amount of separation, and when we can think of creative ways around it, it can really impact the level of alarm and distress that our children feel day to day. And so for this little child, he just became really capable of doing that drop-off situation, even though that drop-off wasn't designed in the most developmentally appropriate way. You know, it should have been that the child gets passed from the primary attachment caregiver, which is the mother, to the teacher, who's going to be the attachment caregiver who's going to look after that child for the day. That's kind of the most appropriate drop-off, but that just wasn't what we were working with. It just wasn't possible. And so this little workaround of creating connection where we could, and reducing the separations that we could reduce, and creating ritual, really soothed the child in a deep way. And then that allowed him to have this leftover energy to cope with something that wasn't ideal, but the thing that we couldn't actually change. So if you've got a parent who's working outside of the home and who has to spend a fair amount of time away from their child, or as I said, that work situation is unpredictable, I think audio messages and a simple calendar can go a really, really long way. And the third thing that I wanted to talk about was when you come home as the working parent, or the parent who's been, I should say, working outside of the home, because we all know that the parent who is at home is doing a lot of work. So the parent who's working outside of the home, away from the child, when they come home, there can be a fair amount of resistance. Right? There can be a fair amount of pushback. Like, I don't want you to help me get my shoes on. I don't want you to do bath time. I want mum to do it, or whoever the parent is who has been at home. And that can feel really challenging as the parent who hasn't been home to kind of move through. And what I hear a lot of parents say is that when that pushback comes, then they take that on, they take that personally, and they feel a huge sense of maybe guilt, maybe shame, maybe disappointment, maybe disconnection themselves. And so then they back out of that relationship, kind of like, well, fine, if you don't want me to help you, I won't. But what's really important to understand is that children do want you. They do want you. They're just feeling a little bit vulnerable. And they're feeling just a little bit more safer with the person who's home all day, because they're the person that looks after them the majority of the time. And so one of the key ways around this is through playfulness, because playfulness is known to melt away that resistance. It's known to melt away those defenses that push you away and stay with the person that they feel most familiar with. And so when you enter that room, instead of, you know, feeling the rejection and taking it personally, if you can shift that into a level of acceptance and reminding yourself, this actually isn't about me. This is not about me at all. And finding a sense of playfulness within you, then often that melts away that resistance and it helps that child start to orbit and circle around you again. And then it helps you feel like you've got that kind of natural power to lead and support your child in whatever way they need to. So I am in my own home, I'm the person who works the most outside of the home. And I felt this as well. I've had many a nights where I've come in from having a day of clients, and I work from home, so I see my kids a lot during the day between clients. But I've had plenty of times where I've come home and I felt that real resistance, that no, I want dad to do it. No, I only want dad. And I know that it's not actually about me. It's not a representation of our deeper attachment. It's just in that moment, their attachment instincts are engaged with their dad because they've been home with him all day. And so then I have to do the work to get back into that relationship with my children and forcing my way in and, saying, no, I am going to be the one that does bath or I will put your shoes on doesn't work. But if I can use a little bit of playfulness and if I can maintain that knowing that this actually isn't about me and I can be warm and I can be playful and I can be light, then that's always my way around. And so while it can feel really hard to get that sense, that rejection or that pushback, it's just what a child does when they've been in care with somebody all day and they're feeling a little bit vulnerable because of the length of separation that they faced. And so it becomes really important that we don't make that about us and we don't bring our story and our stuff into that, but that we find that place within us where we can get that relationship back on track. And so creating little connection rituals like audio messages during the day is really powerful for that. Creating predictability like a calendar so kids know when you are going to be at work and when you will come home. And then using playfulness if there is resistance on that reconnection so that you can melt away and soften those defenses can be a really powerful way to get back into connection with your child. Okay, I hope that that has helped. I hope that that gives you some really simple and easy to implement ideas that actually do really get to the heart of the connection needs of our children, especially in situations where, you know, we're unfortunately spending more time away from them than we might desire, and especially more than they would desire. Okay, so that's it for me for this week. I would love to know if you use audio messages with your kid. I would love to know how it lands. You can always DM me over at Instagram at @raisinghumanskind, and I always love hearing from you. But otherwise, I'll be back again next week. Have a beautiful week, everybody. Thank you for joining me. If you loved this episode and want more like this, leave a review or screenshot this podcast, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag me at @raisinghumanskind. This is such a powerful way to support the podcast and means it will reach more parents who need to hear this message. And if you want to dive deeper, check out the show notes for all the further information so that we can raise our small humans kindly, and together we can raise humankind.